there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley. I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we're talking with Karen Stutzman, District Manager for the Polk SWCD. She is also a director on the board of the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts and a board member with the Lucky Mute Watershed Council. Karen has been with the district for 8.5 years. I'm excited to introduce Karen with everyone today on the podcast to highlight programs and ways that Polk SWCD conserves our natural environment. So a big welcome to you, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. And what better timing to talk about the environment with Earth Day being this Friday, right around the corner. I'd like to begin with a little intro. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, your educational background, and what drove you toward a career in conservation?
Sure. A little bit about my background. I live on a ranch, 114-acre ranch here, just south of Salem and south of Monmouth in the foothills of the Cascades. And we sell grass-fed beef that's grain-finished, and we also grow our own hay. My educational background is in 1993, I got my first degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in multicultural education and moved to Seattle and lived in Seattle for 17 years and then decided that I wanted to go back to school to get another degree and try to do work in an area where I spent most of my time in my free time, which was outdoors and in nature. So I went back to school at Oregon State University and got a degree in natural resource policy and management. And what drove me to go into this kind of work was that I was always outside, exploring the outdoors recreationally. I had a horse when I was growing up and managed the horse and showed the horse. We raised a colt, and then I've always been driven to do work outside, moving and working with natural resources. And so it was just a perfect fit for me.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you started out as an intern at Polk SWCD.
I did. I was looking, when you're in college, you have to look for like a senior capstone project. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for ways to get experience. And I found an internship at the SWCD. And we were doing something called the Waters Project at the time, where we went up into the Rickrayal watershed and did tree surveys up there. And I participated in the annual meeting and just helped out in any way that I could.
Awesome. And just in case any of our listeners don't know, can you explain what an SWCD is and how these special districts were originally formed?
Sure. So SWCD stands for Soil and Water Conservation District. And generally, soil and water conservation districts grew out of the Dust Bowl era here in the United States, and a time when European immigrants were moving west and the U.S. government wanted to try to settle the area. So they gave land away in certain, amounts of acreage to encourage settlement amongst people wanting to go west for free. And then, you know, along the way, they were providing knowledge to potential settlers, but really just on a narrow range of farming. So, and then most of the farming practices came from Europe with their weather patterns and their soil types. And the federal government found that that was not good information, which is basically what led to the Dust Bowl. So they rethought what a way to solve the problem would be to have local districts, 45 of which are in Oregon alone, but they're all over the United States, that would provide local knowledge that would coincide with local soils, local weather patterns, etc. And they wanted to use the local practices to guide the local ag.
Yeah. And so what are the resource concerns in Polk County that help guide the current district's mission and goals?
So current resource concerns that we get through the annual local working group meeting that we host together with the Natural Resource Conservation Service are to focus on, and then the goals of our board are to focus on soil health and protecting ag water quality and quantity, as well as like restoring natural landscapes that are on the decline, like oak woodlands and upland prairie, forest health of mixed forests, forests that have hard and soft wooded species growing in them. And then weed control, noxious weed control, like control of Medusa head or poison hemlock or tansy ragwort that really take a toll on ag practices and cost people a lot of money each year to try to manage that on top of trying to get a crop grown.
Yeah. And I would like to talk about some of the ways that we're addressing those concerns that you've mentioned. So what are the ways that Polk SWCD can help landowners with their soil health?
Yeah. So some programs and things we have going on are we hire technical assistants, a resource conservationist and a farm specialist that help people with their cropping systems, you know, with cover cropping or no-till drill practices, regenerative ag. We have a small farms outreach coordinator who provides workshops on soil health practice, best management practices, you know, keeping the ground covered with vegetation, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. And how about water quality? How can we address that concern?
Again, a couple of programs that the district has going on or, you know, like funding opportunities that we have available to us are the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board's small grant team funds. Those are grant funds that have a max of about $15,000 per project. And then the landowner contributes generally about 25% of their own either sweat equity or money, mm-hmm. To do projects that help with water quality, like large woody debris projects or culvert replacements. You can do heavy use area management to control manure from livestock. We also have our own funding programs that we partner with the NRCS on called CREP, which is Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, where people can establish riparian buffers, so buffers of vegetation along waterways, especially fish-bearing streams. And you can do something as simple as just planting a certain type of grass. It just depends on the soil type that you have, and the technician can help you think about that. Or you can do some wetland recovery, or you can do tree and shrub canopy, what we call riparian forest. Mm-hmm. So lots of options to help with water quality.
Yeah. And how about fish and wildlife habitat quality? How can we help with that?
So the district has just was awarded a couple of years ago a incentive program, a granting program called the Regional Conservation Partnership Program for oak restoration in our portion of the Willamette Valley in Polk County. And we help to restore oak woodlands and upland prairie using those funds. We also can just, you can use small grants as well to do some fish and wildlife habitat restoration. We can just give you your own plan, depending on what, you know, land use concerns you're thinking about, or what, if you're just wanting to, you know, establish more native trees or shrubs, we can help with those kinds of things too.
Yeah. And if I've learned anything in my 6 months in this position, it's that we can accomplish so much more by working with organizations that have similar goals. In the time that you've been with the district, can you talk about some of the partnerships that you've strengthened or created, and some of the projects that we worked on together with them?
Sure. So when I first got to the district, we were starting new, starting fresh and developing programs at the time. And I just so happened to also be on the Lucky Mute Watershed Council board. And so I looked to partnering with them to do outreach projects, outreach workshops, either with native plants or talking about projects that they were working on. Or we did some drinking water quality programs with a DEQ 319 grant, where we looked at the drinking water sources provided in our county, public drinking water sources, as well as well water sources. And then we provided opportunity for people to bring in samples of their drinking water so we could have them tested and share that information, all the way to, you know, walking through the 4th of July parade with our 23-foot long, 13-foot high educational display called Claudia Salmon, Chinook Salmon.
She's famous.
She is famous. To, you know, having workshops where we took people birding, to teaching people about Native American plants and animals. Some current partnerships we have, we like to partner with NRCS because they provide incentive-based programs that help people participate and pay for restoration. Restoration can be really expensive, you know, upwards of $20,000 to $50,000 just to restore or bring closer to restoration oak woodlands and savanna, healthy forest, you know, to thin out trees and shrubs that are impeding the growth patterns of those mixed forests that we have. We also partner with OSU Extension, where we share a small farms outreach coordinator. That's an amazing partnership that we've really needed for a long time to help us get information about ag practices to our constituents. Seems like Haley's out there all the time with workshops, you know, whereas before we had a few a year, now it's just ongoing. And we also have a magazine that we call Cultivating that we get out to the county that helps share all of our work.
Yeah, I know. I've really enjoyed starting to write articles for that as well. And yeah. You mentioned the native plants, and I wanted to touch on the video project that we did with the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how that project went?
Sure. So we, as part of our grant funding, one of our partners is the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, as well as a group called the Institute for Applied Ecology and an ornithologist named Joel Geyer. And we, you know, when you're dreaming up grants, you have to think of ways to get the information out to people. And so we, Suzanne Teller from the Lucky Mute Watershed Council, suggested we do a video about something called TEK, which is traditional ecological knowledge, which is cultural best management practices, as well as on the ground land use management practices that the Confederated tribes have used, you know, in their culture and in their management practice. And we wanted, because the Confederate tribes of Grand Ronde are a partner and they contributed a lot to the grant, we wanted to make sure that we were letting people know that a good way to get involved with the grant was to utilize some of these practices. And what better way to promote that than to make a video or two? And so we spent, a good year, I would say, over COVID at various times, putting together a couple of, about 10 or 15 minute long videos.
Yeah. And coming in June, we're partnering with the Lucky Mute Watershed Council and the tribe, and we're putting together a tour at the Native Plant Materials Center in Grand Ronde. So super excited about that to come. Yeah. And just a quick update, if you're joining us, I'm here with Karen Stutzman, District Manager for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. All right. And so we're getting ready to wrap up this fiscal year. Karen, can you talk about some of the project highlights?
Sure. So we really got into being able to fund projects for the Regional Conservation Partnership Program for Oak Restoration this year. We also were awarded another biennium of our CREP incentive program that helps landowners establish riparian buffers. It's actually in ag, so you have to be managing your land for crops, for agricultural practices in order to qualify for CREP. But we got another round of biennial funding for that, which we're super excited about because we have, you know, different types of practices that we offer through that program to help you establish those plant vegetative buffers. And one of them that we're looking at this year is along Jaunt Creek, and it will be the first wetland style CREP in the county. So we're super excited about that. It's about 17 acres along Jaunt Creek, and looking forward to developing that and doing some outreach on that one. But we also hired you, Morgan, our outreach coordinator, and we're super excited about you helping us develop all of the ways nowadays that people can be in contact with us and find out about what we're doing. And we're so happy to have you with us. And we also hired an administrative assistant to help with all things the board of directors and budgetary process, and to help me. And then we started doing more outreach at our conservation easements. They're actually acquired properties, so we own them, but they have a conservation easement overlay, which means that they're always held in conservation. Mm-hmm. You can't ever build anything on them. And we've started to do more outreach there, which we're super excited about. I know you, Morgan, have had some kids go out from Lucky Mute Charter School and the Dallas Community School to go plant plants out there. And we have two studies that are going on at Cornerstone so far to reestablish Willamette Daisy and Kincaid's Lupin. We're partnering with the Institute for Applied Ecology, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, on those. And again, super exciting to get things moving out there. We hope to see with that Kincaid's Lupin establishment over time that hopefully they'll provide another pathway for the endangered butterfly, Fender's blue butterfly, to come from Basket Slough all the way out to Cornerstone.
Yeah.
So that would be super nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. I have a training coming up for the Fender's blue butterfly.
Right. So
I'm excited to eventually involve the community and have some community science projects over there with that.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We also wrapped up Goose Creek, which was a large woody debris project. You can check that out on our website. So we worked with the Bureau of Land Management to install some, they call them barbs. It's just large pieces of wood that are anchored into the side of the creek bed to help slow the water down and collect what they call fines and, you know, slower moving places where salmonids can spend time, I don't know how to say it, like, you know, going for bugs and food, feeding, filling up their bellies.
Yeah.
And using the gravels to lay eggs. And we're already seeing carcasses there from salmon that are coming through and breeding there and spawning there. So super excited that that project's over too, and we'll be working with the BLM into this next fiscal year up in the Rickreal to do some more large woody debris projects up there.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I know we have a really cool video on our website of the salmon checking out their new habitat. So, yeah. I don't own a lot of land myself. What can someone like me do to be a good steward to the land and make a difference in soil and water conservation?
Right. So it's really important to think about not only does an SWCD help land managers out in the country who have acres and acres of land that they need help managing with ag practices or forestry practices, but there's also people who live in urban and suburban areas that we need to provide them resources to help them in their own backyard. So you can participate in our native plant sale and buy native plants, and we can help you think about where to plant those things in your backyard. You can plant for pollinators. You can compost. You can create permeable pathways and driveways. We also work together with the city at times to do stormwater control and to help filter stormwater as it's heading, you know, into the catch basin, how we can filter it with plants or with certain materials to catch some of those nasty things that we don't want going back down through the sewer system and out into the water ways where native fish live. You can join a local watershed council like the Glen Gibson, Rickreal, or Lucky Mute Watershed Council.
Yeah.
You can become an associate director at the district. We need a variety of skill sets at the district, including public budgetary processes, accounting, contract writing, you name it. We could probably use your help. Not only do we need, you know, people who practice agricultural, farmers, foresters, but we also need people with those other types of who run their own businesses and know how to do that kind of stuff. You can volunteer to learn more by participating with Audubon Society or in your city parks, doing creek maintenance and restoration. There's all kinds of things you can do in the city or in a suburban area.
Yeah, I just think soil and water conservation is not just for people that own tons of land. Everyone can be involved and make a difference. And let me tell you, there are so many volunteer opportunities. So I'd be happy to connect with people if you're interested in being involved with some of our outreach events or community science projects. Karen, this is my favorite question to ask people that I interview. What is your favorite natural space to explore in Oregon and your favorite Oregon critter and why?
Oh boy. Well, I am a high desert aficionado. I love the high desert. So I love visiting the High Desert Museum over in Bend and just exploring the sagebrush country and love it out there. I love the feel of it and the uniqueness of it. All the lava fields and you can go splunking over there and I'll let you guys figure out what that means. I don't know, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My favorite critter, I would say, because I live on acreage with oak woodlands and upland prairie, that all those critters are my favorite critters. So, because I get to see them all the time.
Yeah.
So wild turkeys, pheasants, fox, gray fox. What else do we have? Gray squirrels, great horned owls.
Yeah.
Just all of those species, white-tailed deer, coyotes.
Yeah,
you rubber have your boa snakes, all that stuff. I love it.
Yeah, you have your own ecosystem going over there.
I do. It's beautiful.
Mm. Any closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners, Karen?
Well, please visit our website. It is a wealth of great resources to help people learn all about managing your natural resources on your quarter of an acre to your 50 acres. And we've spent a lot of time and a lot of years compiling pages of information to help people. So please check it out.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Yes. I've been talking with Karen Stutzman about the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District and how the district works to provide technical assistance that supports natural resource conservation. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for Polk SWCD. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on any of these topics, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information. Also, on our website, you'll find information about our upcoming events like our Earth Day webinar, climate resilience and agriculture, and a bird walk and plant walk taking place at our conservation easement. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7. or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesdays during Willamette Wake Up. On the next episode, you'll hear from Perla Garcia Villegas. She's the Farm and Garden Education Outreach Coordinator for the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm. Very excited to hear from her. So thanks for listening and your light shining.